Again, by doing that, you're preventing the ensuing story that could happen.
Yeah.
Okay, do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
A variation on what you're talking about also could be an important yogi note. It's important to be aware of pleasant things here. We're not just, you know, noting the downer, the unpleasant stuff. We're here to observe everything. And the reason for this is the mind loves to enjoy things, and it also arises from what I call a favorite restaurant syndrome. Who has a favorite restaurant here? Some place they love to eat. It cooks the best food you make. You enjoy it. Or you love to cook a certain food. But let's keep the favorite restaurant. Why do you go there? Because they cook your favorite, your food, just the way you like it. They treat you wonderfully. They know your name. They cook beautiful, organic, vegetarian food or wonderful pizzas or whatever you're like. Okay, so you keep coming back to that place, right? You take your friends there because they treat you like a somebody, and, you know, and it's fun. Okay, well, the mind is that way in the meditation. So when you happen to have a sit that was particularly pleasant, everything was flowing, wonderful, there was tingling in the body perhaps, a wonderful feeling, and it was kind of delightful. It was a nice break, the pain wasn't there maybe, or it just was really kind of sweet. The next time you come back, if you don't label enjoying, pleasant, happy, or joyful, or whatever your descriptive is, what's going to happen is the mind is, in its own little subtle way, going to try to replicate that experience next time. So you'll be sitting there, and it'll be time to sit again, and you'll just kind of, let's see here, I had my hand was here, and I moved it over, right? And I think I took two deep breaths, yes, and I twisted my neck. I did that, yeah, that's what I did. Then I think I licked my lips, yeah. Yeah, that was it. A1, okay, bring it on. Bring on the magic carpet ride. Guess what? It may happen, but if it doesn't, you're going to be profoundly disappointed. You're going to come to me and say, I've had a bad sit. Okay? Because it didn't meet your expectations, your desires. Right? So be aware of that. That's why it's important to be attentive to even the pleasant sensations. Because if you're not attentive to them, what you're saying is, it's all right to, pleasant is the way it should be. And that's not necessarily true. Content is, equanimous is more along the line. Pleasant isn't what it's about. Pleasant is a byproduct. It's temporary. It sets you up for craving more pleasant. That's the suffering of pleasure. Is when it ends, you want more. And when it, you know, and you want to repeat it. And that's the suffering it creates. It's pleasant. It's fun. It's enjoyable. Great. Wonderful. And when it's over, more, you want more, right? That's what it is. That's the trick of the mind. And because the mind can't get ice cream and cookies here, it looks for other things. Well, if we can't get ice cream and cookies, we at least have magic carpet ride sits again. Right? Does this ring a bell to anybody? Okay. So, the next hindrance to watch for is called ill will, viapada. And ill will can occur on a lot of levels. It of course, can occur in recollection of places where you were righteously indignant about something that occurred to you. And sometimes the mind will even create a little place where you were wronged by some fictional event, you just feel. Or you may remember a fight you had with somebody or some mistreatment you endured or some meanness that was, or nastiness that was inflicted on you, and you genuinely suffered, and you didn't intend it, and you blah, blah, blah. And you'll have this rage, this ill will arise that will be just, you know, and it's a wonderful object. You can't beat it because it's there and it's present. And it's doing everything that rage does in normal life except giving you the opportunity to punch someone in the face or road rage someone or if you're in America, reach and grab your gun and pop somebody. Okay? So this is allowing you, allowing you to just explore without being overwhelmed or repressing the experience. Okay? So that's an important thing to observe. And it's labeling, observing, noting, labeling what's happening, seeing it, and ultimately watching it disappear. Because rage always disappears. You know, how many of you have been angry? Everyone in the room, are you angry now? No. Okay, so it's not a permanent. It's not you. It's not there. It's disappeared. Observing its disappearance gives you the understanding that this is not me, even though the rage has a real ego message in it. This is you. You are angry. There's a you that's angry. And justifiably so by God. Yes. So that's the sort of worldly anger. Ill will can arise even in the retreat due to a current event, for example. I'll give you a couple of examples. Stuck behind a slow yogi. Come on, let's go. Yeah, there's the road rage. There's the yogi rage. Get a move on. Lunch is getting cold, my dear friend. What are you doing? Showing off? How inconsiderate of you. Get going. Then you have ill will towards this yogi who's, quite frankly, following the instructions, perhaps, and maybe teaching you to slow down in a nice way, accidentally, of course. Well, then there's another event that can occur. You know, you're coming up, I guess it's a buffet style, is it? Buffet? Yeah, so you come in, and there's the lovely food laid out, and you spot a particularly desirable piece of something. Fruit, maybe a mango, maybe a piece of pineapple. You've got your eye on it. Mindfully moving towards it. And then the slow yogi takes it. Now there is a basis for ill will. If I ever saw one. Okay, so it can occur in any circumstance, and you know, all the yogi's doing is following instructions and feeding himself or herself, and here you are annoyed at them because that's what the mind likes to do. It feels like it's a real you and a self. Okay, so we want to be careful of that. We want to label that. We want to attend to it. Observe it. Watch what it does to your gut and your physically, what it does to you mentally, emotionally. Observe it. Watch it. Label it. And when it disappears, then you're here again. Okay. There's also another form of ill will, which is sort of insidious and not, you know, not really that nice. This is ill will towards yourself. I can't do this practice. I'm not good enough. Ooh, I hate it when I do this. I do this all the time. This is ill will towards yourself. Okay? Anger at yourself. Okay? And that's a tough one. Because, you know, this practice is fraught with plenty of reason to be annoyed at yourself. Plenty of times you'll get up before pain is vanquished. Plenty of times you'll speed up. Plenty of times you get lost. There's plenty of places where you can, quote, feel you've failed and then really rub the sandpaper on yourself. Really take yourself to task and just scold yourself the way your angry mother used to do, or the way your angry father, or the way the angry teachers are the way, or blah, 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 blah. Okay? It's your favorite poison, self-deprecation. And it's not a good one. Just label it. It's a wonderful thing to watch. It's part of your psychology that's been, you know, an albatross around your neck. Label it. Observe it. Oh, there you are. Ha, you little